My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justus, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God. They have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, and you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. Although this letter has been read to you, see it as also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace will be with you.
The memes are plentiful. I mean, with a year this bad, sometimes humor is our only refuge. One of my favorite of the memes is just so beautiful in its simplicity. It reads, 2020. Shows 1 out of 5 stars with the simple comment below, would not recommend. Another one I've really appreciated is many variations of the months represented by different movie characters or different facial expressions. Reese Witherspoon did a great one. So did Jennifer Garner. I mean, let's be honest, when it's laugh or cry, the laughs are helpful, because there have been some tears, too. This has been hard. This is still hard. It's important to call it what it is. We are in a prolonged state of grief. Now, grief is often most associated with death, but grief comes from loss, and we have lost a lot during this pandemic. Places we used to go, people we used to see and be with in person, not being able to learn and work in the same way anymore. As a congregation, we've lost the ability to worship together for now, at least in person. Some of the losses are more conceptual. We've lost the idea that things like this don't happen to us. We've had to confront the great disparities that were just easy to gloss over before, losing the comfort of our denial. Other losses are not conceptual at all. They are very concrete. Just ask one of the folks who's lost their job, or ask someone who's lost their housing, or ask someone who, amidst the stress and strain of these months, has lost their sobriety or a relationship or their mental health stability. Sometimes it just makes you want to run away. And it's that idea of trying to escape that leads us to talk about this on Bluegrass Sunday. When you take a listen to bluegrass music, the sounds and the lyrics, they are some that confront the realities of life. And the hymns we sing this day, the tone of these hymns speaks to escaping the realities of the hardships of life. One glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. Is there a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky? These are songs that long for a better state of being. Not just things would get better here and now, but in many cases, that we could just skip ahead to the then and there of whatever is after this life. This escapism is understandable. The imperfect reality of the before time now seems like a dream. Oh, to go back to the way it was. I mean, who wouldn't want to escape the pandemic, quarantine, tensions of systemic racism, and wildfire smoky skies that we have been living? I mean, with murder hornets, toilet paper shortages, and Tiger King sprinkled in. Who wouldn't want to escape this? For all the frustration and difficulty of these days, I do have a word of hope to offer. Best of all, God is with us. We need not go anywhere or any time else to experience the divine presence, for it has found us. You know, the psalmist reminds us, even if we were to make our home in the depths, you, O Lord, are there. God is here today, right here with us in all the uncertainty, in all the discomfort, in all the grief and loss. God is here, listening to our prayers, whether they're spoken aloud or simply sighed. God is here, offering us strength and grace, the strength and grace we need to make it through each day, all the while smoothing some of the rough edges. God is here, equipping us to make a difference, that the work of love, acceptance, justice, and hope might continue. Because the work of the divine cannot be put on hold, especially when it's needed more than ever. God is here with us. God is what holds the circle together. The spirit of the divine binds us together. I miss you. I miss being in worship in the same time and place together. I miss coffee hour around tables with kids running around. I miss the children collecting loose change and people searching for it to offer them. I miss singing together. I miss the handshakes. I miss the hugs. There are times and places where it feels like the circle that is our community might be starting to crack. Maybe it's broken, we think. But the spirit of the divine, the love of God that surrounds us, does so in ways that cannot be broken. Such stress on community and the perceived fragility of the circle that holds us together is present in our scriptures as well. The early church felt like it was in pieces all the time. Some would say it was in pieces at times. But even then, God held it together. The distance and difference they experienced required community to find new ways to tend to their circle. It's well expressed in the closing of Paul's letter to the Colossians. We, mind you, simply open a Bible or Google a chapter and verse, and we get to find these well-known words of Scripture. But when they were first written, it was a single piece of parchment that was read aloud to a community, an epistle that arrived by courier, read to those who could not read, one single copy shared amongst many hands. The letters of our scriptures were efforts to connect and maintain relationship in the most difficult of times. As such, these early letters to the church functioned like their own little social network. Did you hear it in the scripture today? Paul was sending greetings to people he knows, to friends of those he's currently with. He passes along words of love and welcome from those who know he will be writing. Oh, make sure you tell them. Oh, pass along this word for me. He vouches for people who are newly arriving in their community and then asks for the letter to be passed on to others. In fact, they even would trade letters back and forth from community to community to see what he'd said to other people. This was the community tending to their circle. The circle was unbroken because it didn't require perfection or uniformity. Too often, people think that the circle is broken, when in reality, it's just different than what it used to be. When what really makes the circle what it is the connection. And as long as we maintain our connection, the circle cannot be broken. That is why the Spirit of God that resides in you, that resides in me, that resides in everyone, that is why we are held together whatever the circumstance, because we are connected through the Spirit and love of God. We, right here and right now, are invited to tend to that connection, to grow in our relationship with God and one another. I mean, that's why we have two different opportunities to share joys and concerns and pray with one another every week. It's why we're starting the Bible study groups that pair up with the upcoming sermon series. It's why we have a group to support parents every single week. It's why we're serving communion in the parking lot every first Sunday. That's why we're handing out those postcards that are pre-addressed, pre-stamped, and asking you to write notes to one another. That's why we have a virtual coffee hour every Sunday, and why there is a special all-church check-in today. You know, just like Paul in the scriptures, we're asking you to help us maintain our connection and tend to the circle, because we miss you. And if you haven't made the effort to connect in one or more of the ways that I've mentioned, if it hasn't worked out for you yet, please know we miss you even more. We need to hear from you. We need to see your face, and we need to get caught up on your story. Because our circle is not complete without you. You matter to us. And the others who call this place home will be encouraged to know that they matter to you. The circle will be unbroken because it is about connection and relationship that is divinely held. We are invited to nurture it so that it is strong and vibrant and can bring healing in this time of grief. You know, when I connect with folks, as we share all these different times and different ways together, as I connect in those moments, it brings healing to my weary soul. Now, sure, there are some momentary twinges of sadness when I remember what we're missing out on and why we have to do it this way. But honestly, I'd be feeling that either way. What grows and overcomes that sadness is the joy and love of community and connection. It gives me life and warms my heart. We will see each other again soon. By and by, Lord. By and by.